Welcome to a Monday morning. Great to be back. Steak Shapiro, Drew Butler, that's what you're used to on a Monday, so we will not disappoint you. Thanks so much for spending time with us right in the heart of all the action with Falcons training camp. We'll be in Flowery Branch. Can't wait. Tomorrow, I think the show was out there, was it once or twice last week? Dylon?
I think once last week.
And then Abe was
Yeah, once last week, just on Thursday.
All right, we're there twice this week, and a lot of stuff happening here. All kinds of big news, obviously, with football back. And I'm back as well, so one of the longest vacations I've ever had off the radio. I think I missed seven or eight shows consecutively.
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Saw my daughter in Barcelona, who was studying on a program. I use that term very loosely. I was talking to some parents.
Studying what? How to have a good time?
Yeah, I was going to say. She's studying for the University of Georgia. There's a program in the summer in Barcelona. And all the parents decided we need an adult exchange program as well for 7 weeks. Whatever that was. And she had a great time there. But travel, travel, travel. You know, that's one thing these kids figure out is it's not like here. You can make last-minute reservations on a train or a plane. They got these little puddle jumpers. They got these flights that are like $140, and I'm not saying that's nothing, but it's not like you can book last minute here anymore in the United States, so you're flying to a different city every weekend.
Yeah, I mean, to go from Atlanta to Kansas City, it's going to cost you $500.
New Orleans, where I'll be this weekend, moving my daughter into college, $575. Yeah. Atlanta to New Orleans.
You can't get anywhere through the air for less than $400.
So they're doing
bucks.
All those flights for like $150.
Good
so
for them.
Got to see her, celebrated a good buddy's birthday, his 60th in Umbria in Italy. So, listen, fabulous, great time. It is incredibly different world of taking a deep breath, having three-hour dinners, not being on the phone. The Italians, the Spanish, they understand. Americans are crazy, the whole deal. But I'm happy to be back in the good old USA. I'm not going to be afraid. I had my Starbucks this morning, played my pickleball yesterday, got all Americaned out and, had all my gadgets and my streaming and all the things I love. So love being over there. But listen, with football, I'm not going to lie to you, with football breaking and
it's here, man.
Yeah.
Thursday, Hall of Fame game, Thursday night, Lions Chargers on NBC. Georgia opens up camp. Later on this week, Falcons' first padded practice tomorrow. We'll be there.
Yeah. So that's what it's about. And for the radio station, which had such an incredible summer and just shows you the power of the station, that doesn't matter what's going on. The ratings have never been bigger. But it sure would be fun to have a fall. We know Georgia's going to be in the mix. We know they got the best home schedule they've ever had in the history of the program.
No doubt.
We know Georgia Tech's hype is the best it's been in a decade at least, right?
Carson Beck called Haynes King the best player in the ACC, giving him huge flowers. Rightfully so. I mean,
right,
took
it
to eight overtimes
of
them last year.
Yeah,
exactly.
They don't fumble that ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And Carson Beck is losing to Haynes King, but the best quarterback room in the ACC for sure. And then, of course, the Atlanta Falcons, who we will talk a ton about, even though there's not much to talk about in the sense that it is the same training camp rhetoric. I watch the NFL Network, speaking of getting back to my American
Steve Weiss
roots.
Was in town.
Yeah, or just watching, ESPN was with the Commanders. So I watched Dan Quinn yesterday morning, and then later in the day I watched Jayden Daniels. And then you heard ESPN Radio or one of these other, deals was with Cincinnati. They're doing the training camp tours, right?
Football is back tour.
Yeah, the proverbial, maybe we get the owner, but we get the coach and we get the GM and we get their best players and we all say the same thing and then we go to the next city and we do the next thing and it's just all rhetoric, but the NFL is king.
King.
And
this is how they own the month of August.
And folks are eating it up and thinking about their fantasy team and thinking about, where they're going to travel to watch their favorite NFL team. Last year, of course, we had all these different teams that filled up our building with the Steeler fans coming in here and, a large group of big games in terms of opposing fans. That's what Falcon fans hope will get excited about doing as well. What has your last 10 days been like, my friend? Anything happening last I saw
you? We've been hanging, man. You know, my five-year-old Kara, she had her tonsils and adenoids taken out. So today, I think she's back to solid food. So her recovery's been going well. We've all been kind of hanging out low-key, and school starts back up next Monday. So
next
summer
Monday.
Is coming to a close. Yes.
Yeah. It is funny, the pace of the summer here, where it's over, right? I mean,
yeah.
Most of the big trips are done. You know, I noticed coming back, flying back from Rome on Saturday, a ton of Atlantans. Was wrapping up their summer, although a lot of them were really there in earlier July and whatnot. And, you know, the rest of the world is still doing their summer thing, right?
Yeah.
Month of August, you know, all of Italy's on holiday. They take the entire month, right?
Yeah.
The Northeast sucks up August like crazy. That's huge for them. But we are back. And it's kind of beautiful how in this neck of the woods, it coincides with the return of football. So,
amen.
And that's a lot of what we'll have for Falcons training camp. Coverage has been outstanding. I heard some of the Raheem stuff. I think it was with Andy and Randy last week. I'm not totally caught up on all that stuff. But we'll be out there tomorrow. We'll have a chance to watch practice later on tomorrow as well. And I'll give you the sights and sound of Flowery Branch as the Falcons try to break what has been a nightmarish run of being out of the postseason, which is not fun for anybody. We want October baseball. We're not going to get that.
No, we are not.
We want January football, right? And we want NBA games in May, right? That means that your team is in the mix, and that's all you can really ask for. And for the University of Georgia, we're spoiled. You know you're getting all those things.
Right.
One way or another, I mean, we're getting a lot of SEC title games. We're getting a lot of playoff games. We're getting national title games. I mean, if you think about it last year, which I guess is considered, right, a disappointment.
Yeah, SEC champions beating Texas twice.
We got a game against Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. You
know, go to the semifinals?
Right.
I know. Yeah.
So,
perspective, people. Perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's do our 9 at 9. Well, you didn't have this in your bingo card. The Atlanta Braves going through, I think it's safe to say, one of the most disappointing seasons in the history of this franchise. They lose again, absolutely smoked out of the building, 8-1 yesterday in Texas. That completes the sweep the Rangers put on the Braves. Blew a game on Saturday night that was painful, and they couldn't hold it in the ninth, losing in extra innings. Bryce Elder gives up all 8 runs yesterday. They are 2-7 since the All-Star break. They're 44-60. 16 games under.
Yeah, they've lost 5 in a row, Stake, and things do not seem to be getting better. I think the entire pitching rotation has dealt with injuries throughout this season. To your point, the expectations going into 2025 and what has transpired since being 44-60 overall, 17 games back in the division, it is safe to say this is certainly one of the most disappointing seasons in franchise
history. John Fricke yesterday, I listened to him, listened to a little bit of Bo yesterday. I listened to the radio station. I was getting my fix. You know, Fricke's saying it's the worst Braves season of all time, given expectation. That may be a little strong. Also, he's all over Brian Snicker. I thought a little strong, too. And now you've lost every one of your starters, right? Every one of your starters has been on the
from opening day. April, whatever it was,
the
March
5-man rotation.
All 5
Jeez.
Opening day starters are on IL right now.
That's insane.
Strider wasn't on the opening day rotation. He's the only starter that we have right now. It's Strider and 4 blanks.
So
just
I haven't
made a trade yesterday.
I haven't seen. I left town the day of the All-Star game, so I was getting scores. Of course, the cruel joke is when you're flying international, that live TV stream doesn't work, so I couldn't watch the All-Star game.
Right.
How was that, Bo? How did those days do for you? I know
they were great. The whole weekend was great for us. It was a lot of fun.
Did you work the All-Star game?
Oh, yeah. Worked everything. The Battery did a fantastic job.
What was it like?
All-Star Village was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I was around the Battery and all that. But what was the All-Star game night like in terms of activity? You see a lot of celebs in your place, too?
So there's not a whole lot of celebs. So it's more former players that are down there. It's not a place where celebrities are a whole lot because tickets are hard to get.
Yeah.
Most of our seat owners, you know, like John Foy, he was there every day.
Right.
So he's not selling his ticket. That's the only way that a celebrity is going to get a ticket.
And Atlanta got rave reviews for how we pulled it off.
Pulled off the All-Star game very eloquently. The red carpet was great. You know, even the MLB draft was pretty cool,
and
although there wasn't really any.
Folks liked the
weather was awesome.
They liked the format of how they broke the tie also.
Oh, yeah. I think it was great, and it got great reviews.
Yeah, fans loved it, too.
The only thing people were crying about is that all the stars weren't there. But you got to think about it. East Coast start at 8 o'clock p.m. Freddie Freeman has to be at the ESPYs the next day. No, he's not going to stay there till 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, a lot of the guys left.
So. Yeah, that's wasted energy to worry about that. Anyway, the Braves now
44-60.
Yeah, we mentioned that. And they'll try to right the ship this week, figure out which way is up for sure.
At Kansas City against the Royals tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
7:40 p.m.
We'd mentioned Falcons, UGA. Anything else we're missing of note? I guess, I don't know. I mean, even the NFL is not full with a bunch of big stories.
No, I think, and we'll touch on it later, but the NFL media is overreacting to anything and everything that happens during training camp, whether it is a hanging toenail or a interception, is a little bit out of control at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you build networks around content, and they're trying to find content for sure. What else happened in Atlanta? I don't know. You're doing 9-9. Happy Gilmore 2 came out. That was a big deal over the weekend. Adam Sandler, you talk about a guy on the promotional circuit. You know when there's something out somebody's trying to promote, especially in this day and age. It used to be like the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson or Jimmy Fallon. Now you're on 11 podcasts.
Right.
And all the podcasts that you know. Early taste. Have you seen Happy Gilmore 2?
I have seen it. I really, really enjoyed it. I had tempered expectations going in, and I got exactly what I wanted, which was a lot of laughs and a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah, it was fun.
Exactly.
It's a good movie. If you picture what one would have been had they had a big budget, this is what it was. Like lots of cameos that you didn't see in the first one. The cameos didn't
make
detract
the movie.
From the
yeah,
movie.
Of course.
Yeah, Travis Kelce was great. Bad Bunny was great. They both had regular characters.
And Adam Sandler understands how to entertain.
100%.
Yes.
And by the way, go watch what's the one when he got nominated? The Diamond?
Uncut Gems.
Yeah. The guy can act also.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's phenomenal. This wasn't a chance to get nominated for an Oscar.
Right.
This was a chance to entertain. I'm watching it tonight with my son, Bobby, and I.
Bobby will love it.
Yeah. We're looking forward to that as well. That happened over the weekend. The biggest viral moment maybe in internet history, the Coldplay concerts and fallout from that, right?
Continued fallout.
Yeah. That was – now, you weren't about something everybody was talking about on this trip I was on with all these couples? Listen, get those wives around the pool – drinking a little bit of wine.
Is there sports radio in Italy?
No. I don't know if there's sports radio. But I can tell you that whatever women were saying, what's that CEO's name?
Andy Byron.
Yeah. The mommies around the pool had their own thoughts on Andy Byron, just like every woman in America, right?
Sure.
So the wife finally spoke. We'll tell you about that coming up later on as well. All right, we'll turn our attention when we come back. Lots of stuff to get to. Why training camp teams change every year, but essentially it's all the same thing. I've been to about 25 or 30 of them. I'll give you my thoughts on that. We'll hear from Arthur Blank, Terry Fontenot, all kinds of stuff from Falcons. I'm Steak. That's Drew. It's the Steakhouse. Back and at it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 923 Sports Radio, 929 The Game. My name is Steak Shapiro. It's the Steakhouse with True Butler front and center, as he'll be the entire football season on Mondays, where this radio station just blows up. Make sure you're on the Odyssey app. Get on the Odyssey app. Follow us on social media, True Butler and at Steak Shapiro, and get ready for football season, all kinds of other stuff. I'm just putting out some content as well. Here's the thing I know about, you know, my social media, and I'm blessed that an older dude can find his way into Instagram and TikTok later in life, but it's all about the food stuff. People, while they may enjoy looking at me and my nice Italian, you know, haberdashery, courtesy of Miller Brothers, who made me look very stylish over there, if I do say so myself, right? You saw the hat
of course
and the
I did.
Outfit
yeah.
and everything else. I put food reviews out there. People... I could find a Cuban sandwich in Douglasville, and it will do 20 times the 20 times
yeah.
the engagement of me in like the most beautiful area of Italy eating a pizza.
You got to play the hits, man.
Yeah. So I'll do one more of those pieces of content from Italy, where it was, you know, it's just a lot of carb loading, man. It's a lot of pizza.
Do you subscribe to the notion that you don't feel as bad when you eat that food over there as when you do here because of all the additives and the dyes?
Not processed.
Processed.
Listen, you ever see or hear about the Netflix show The Blue Zone where the guy traveled? He traveled to the five or six places in the world where the life expectancy is the longest.
Correct.
Right? And the most consistent message in those towns were, and these are not metropolis. These are not, is that the right word? You know, these are not major like cities. These are like villages and places like that. Is that the food they're eating is natural, right? Because it's all grown from there and what they're making. And their constant movement, whether they're walking through town or walking in the fields or whether they're, you know, engaging in meeting up places, there's constant movement.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is they just are walking more. They're moving, right? And they're eating slower. Like, you know, they're just not, you're not sitting behind a desk in the same way. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You're always looking at your steps, and you're like, oh, wow, I got 10,000 steps by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just a different deal.
Sure.
Right? So we have great – the other thing that's about this, and I found that in Barcelona where every meal was tapas, right? Tapas this, tapas that, tapas – right? And then in Rome, or if you're in Umbria, it's like pizzas. Like, that's great, but after 6 days, give me a chicken Caesar salad.
Yeah, do they have cheesesteaks and buffalo wings?
Do they even have, like, a sushi roll, right? Like, the great thing about America is I could go to Buford Highway right now and eat a Mexican bodega that would be unbelievable. Then we can go get the best sushi ever and then go get a cheeseburger. And still, there's fabulous Italian restaurants. Like, we have it all. When you get to those cities, that's all you're eating is what's in those towns. So I'm done with my tapas. I get it. Everybody does a fettuccine carbonara. We're in Rome. We're going to do that. But good old USA, man, and, you know, let's remember that what we were built on, all these different cultures, you can't get that in those other cities. You can't get five different meals. If you go to – I was thinking about this as a food town, and not that anybody asked me, but, you know, it is my show. It says it on the lights, their steakhouse. If you come to great food cities in America, Las Vegas, New York City, San Francisco, Chicago, there's four or five different meals every meal, right? We got to go get steak at Gene and Giorgetti's. We got to get deli at this place.
Yeah.
There's a fabulous Italian restaurant. There, it's the same meal.
Yeah.
It's just
a lot of repetition.
Yeah, it's the offshoots of it. So there's my breakdown for what it's worth. Follow us on social media, at Steak Shapiro, at Drew Butler. Falcons camp, we're there tomorrow. Arthur Blank, our buddy Steve Weish, they sat down. Another thing I enjoyed is turning on the NFL Network. It was Falcons Day. And, you know, listen, I've covered Arthur. I was there, and there were not a lot of us in the room. It was in New Orleans, Louisiana. I believe it was 2001, Drew, where Taylor Smith handed over the reins to Arthur Blank in a hotel room. I think it was the Fairmont Hotel in New Orleans, where Arthur was announced as the new owner of the Atlanta Falcons. That was 24 years ago, right? So I've listened and watched him. I interviewed him day one. And, you know, it's always the same for all of them, especially Arthur. Optimism, excitement, all of that. You saw it. He looked relaxed. He looked great for a guy in his 80s. I think he seems at peace with what's coming. But he was asked about Raheem Morris. And I think Raheem's got a lot of pressure on him, as certainly Terry Fontenot has the most, because he's been here longer. And he's in the middle of this run of no playoffs. So what does Arthur think of Raheem and moving forward?
You know, Raheem is, you know, certainly an experienced coach. He's been in the NFL for, you know, over half his lifetime probably, and touched bases in a lot of places, learned a lot, et cetera, et cetera. And I think last year was a good year for him. Probably he would say he learned some things that he probably could do better. I think he's going to study harder on time management, see if we can get a little more focus on that this year. He can constantly find ways to get better.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, not a lot of bouquets being thrown there, but I do think that that shows that Arthur Blank and Raheem Morris and probably Terry Fontenot and the entire coaching staff have had plenty of meetings throughout the offseason to recognize what held them back a year ago. And it is a pretty direct shot there when Arthur Blank, your owner, is talking to the NFL media about his head coach's time management, but
has to
in
study.
The same
Remember what he
vein,
said. He has to study it better.
In the same vein, I think that goes to show the awareness of everybody in the building to understand time management is so important in the National Football League. That can be the difference between winning and losing football games. So I don't necessarily mind it. I'm sure Raheem might have expected it, but good on Arthur Blank for throwing it out there.
Yeah, there's a whole notion of the last 2 minutes of the first half and the first...
last 4 minutes of the first half, last 2 minutes of the game.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of time management. Also, how you come out of the tunnel is another thing.
Of course.
And I hate to
use... The middle 15.
I hate to use the guys... Even use the guy's
Bill
name,
Belichick.
Bill Belichick. But he was obsessed with the final 2 minutes of the half.
Yeah.
And then coming out to get the ball. Why? Yep. He started deferring before anybody yep. did. And he felt like you can take over the game if you have a final 2 minutes and you have a good
steal a possession, yes. add points.
So, you know, listen,
I cannot stress to everybody listening enough. When the Falcons are in training camp as they are right now in Flowery Branch, yes, you only see them on the field for 2 hours a day. They are in the meeting rooms forever, and all they're going over is situational football, time management, how to win the last 4 minutes of the first half, how to win the last 4 minutes of the game. That is what it comes down to every single week in the NFL, and that's what they're doing right now.
The beauty of the National Football League is a couple of things. It wasn't more than a couple. It's dozens. But the final possession, the amount of games that come down to it, and that simply means...
What is it, 16 games a week, right?
Yeah, 32 teams.
16 games a week. Without question, more than half of those games every single week come down to the last couple minutes.
Yeah, and that could mean it's a five-point lead. The other team has the ball.
Yes.
How are you using timeouts to be able to get the ball back with a certain amount of time left? That can mean certainly how you run out the clock or attempt to,
yes.
which the Buccaneers last year were not able to do with Baker Mayfield when they were here. Yep. That game was lost.
4 minute offense,
and they couldn't get out. They couldn't keep the Falcons from getting the football back. Kirk Cousins getting the ball with no timeouts left in Philadelphia and going down the field.
Incredible.
So, you know, you don't necessarily give credit for Raheem there, but we did win those games back on the back end of it. Listen, the easiest thing for sports talk radio guys to do, and I hear it not as much on this station, is like, let me sit here and is absolutely tell you how dumb somebody is on the final 2 minutes or how NFL coaches final 2 minutes. It's never that simple. I know on your couch you think, why do I know and they don't know? It's just a lazy way of continuing to hammer guys. Was Raheem great at it? Probably not. We were bad last year because our quarterback had 9 interceptions and no touchdowns in a 4-game stretch, okay? And we ended up turning to a rookie in week 15. It wasn't that – our defense was terrible, and that's why Bryce Young lit us up for 1,000 yards in that final game. Here is Terry Fontenot, though, with the old conversation, which I feel dirty even bringing up, of why Kyle Pitts has been given a rough go the first few years.
Yeah, look, Kyle's had some challenges through – and, you know, Kyle had the – He has the injury. He's had a number of different quarterbacks. When you really go back through it, which he had five different quarterbacks that he's had to. Okay, I guess with Taylor too, right? So there's all those things. There's chemistry factors. There's all these different things, and so he's had some challenges, but he's got the right mindset. You know, like there's outside noise and there's all these things, but I truly believe that he ignores that stuff and he's focusing on just being a great teammate.
Okay. He ignores it. That's fine. Don't ignore it. Do the opposite. I'm tired of being called a bust.
This guy's been given more grace than anybody that I could really think of off the top of my head.
You're in the right city. We're not a tough town to play in. You are have the right owner who is, you know.
Gracious yes. to you.
You are the highest.
You have a GM who's sticking up for you in the media saying, well, he's had a lot of quarterbacks. He's got a good attitude. He works hard.
You know, I got to remember that we have new listeners all the time. So I can't be afraid to go back to the well and say that Brock Bowers, who was drafted 6 picks, what was he, 10th overall? Lower than that? Where's Brock Bowers taken?
I think he was.
Whatever it was. His quarterback was Desmond Ridder amongst about 5 different ones.
And Gardner Minshew, I believe.
Those are just 2 of them. Aiden
O'Connell.
Either you're open or you're not. And Marcus Mariota or Desmond or Cousins or Penix or Ryan or Heinicke will hit you if you're open. If you run good patterns and you catch the ball, you'll get it on third down. That's why Drake London's numbers look like his, and that's why your numbers look like yours.
Brock Bowers was the 13th overall pick. He shattered every NFL rookie tight end record. He is him.
You think he had Joe Montana as his quarterback? Is that right?
He is him.
Yeah. They were horrible. And his quarterbacks were horrible.
And who was his head coach? Antonio Pierce? Fired.
Yeah, so top
I mean, a complete abomination around him. He made it happen. In the same vein, though, that people stick up for or at least look out for Kyle Pitts, I was doing a little research this morning, and for whatever reason, I feel like we are overlooking what could potentially be the best Falcons pass rush in a long time. Leonard Floyd, James Pierce Jr., Braylon Trice, Jalen Walker. You heard defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich raving about Rook Arororo as well. That could be something to watch.
That makes me feel good. When we come back, somebody asked me a question on the pickleball court yesterday about the dogs. I could not answer it. And you know what? Normally I can pretty much speak on anything, or I'll try to. What was the question and why is it the easiest one ever I couldn't answer on Sports Radio 92.9? Hey, it's 9:41. Why I was asked a question about the dogs, and I couldn't answer. And I was like, this is the easiest question ever asked about a football team, and I couldn't answer. I'll explain it coming up on the tailgate. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler. You're with 120,000 watts of 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. And busy, busy week with a lot of big moments ahead. Can't share all of them with you other than to tell you we're going to be in Flowery Branch tomorrow and Thursday. So you're with me tomorrow. I'm not sure who's Thursday. Sandy, I think, with me Thursday. And the whole crew, Rusty and everybody, will be getting together, get you ready for Georgia Falcons, Georgia Tech, all of that. Going back to before the break, where I thought, you know, we don't play a lot of sound bites here. I think I have a pretty jovial, positive, you know, youthful way I look at our show, especially when I hear other guys who want to take every cut and rip a coach or call people names and just be overly negative. That's not my mindset. I am frustrated, though, from the same rhetoric at every training camp in the NFL, and we'll play that Dan Patrick cut coming up a little bit as well. But I will say both the cuts that we played were somewhat telling. Arthur Blank has absolutely zero reason to gush about Raheem Morris. That doesn't mean Raheem did a bad job last year, just didn't do anything to get him to the playoffs. So that's part of your criteria. Didn't handle the quarterback situation well because he didn't bench Kirk Cousins when Kirk Cousins clearly had lost it. Didn't really, you know, manage that game situation the way he would have liked. So why would he come on there and tell you, I think I have the best coach in the NFL? Why would he come on there and say, I thought Raheem did a great job? Didn't say any of those things.
Right.
He said he needs to prepare harder in terms of time management and that Raheem learned a lot last year. And then you have Terry Fontenot, who is basically going with the angle of the highest drafted tight end in the National Football League history, has been given a hard time because of multiple quarterbacks, hard to build chemistry.
He's got a good attitude, though. He works hard.
Yeah, which I don't think – I know enough people in that building the last 6 years. The one thing that you did not hear coming from guys that I know was Kyle Pitts is a worker. No, that's not what he is. He's a physical specimen. He looks like no tight end ever, which is why he was drafted where he was.
Fourth overall. That's correct. When I was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin always used to say, I don't need to hear you talk. Just turn on the game tape. It is your walking, talking, breathing resume.
Right.
Just turn on the tape.
And
that's all I need to know.
And I think last season, television broadcast did a better job than ever before of highlighting the shortcomings in Kyle Pitts' route running throughout the year. I think you saw some routes where it looked like he gave up. He'd throw the left hand out there, the ball would skip past him, right?
Don't even bring those up.
Right?
Yeah.
But PTSD. So I think, like, you know, with great promise or brings great whatever term that is, what is the notion? of, you know, essentially when you are drafted where you are, given the money that you're given, regarded the way you are, then you're going to have great responsibility.
Yeah.
And you have
with
it.
Great expectations come great responsibility.
Damn it.
Isn't that what
vacation
it is?
Money. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, Drake London has had the exact same quarterback situations.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson has had the exact same quarterback situation. Darnell Mooney last year had Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. And everybody would say, what a great pickup that was.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Fontenot discusses the changeover in coaches, the changeover in offensive coordinators, the changeover in quarterbacks. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
Yeah.
One could argue it's the general manager's fault because you're the one who puts all the pieces together to formulate the team that will then go into a season to play 17 football games.
What I would have said is Drake London doesn't seem to have had any of those issues with multiple quarterbacks. And I think, Terry, in being fair, most folks would say that was a great pick, that Drake London looks like a guy that can win games.
So was Bijan.
Right, so was Bijan. So we'll give you credit for that, but why then do we go the excuse of it's tough to build chemistry?
I don't know. Maybe it's very similar, and I talked about this at SEC Media Days with Sandra. Maybe Terry Fontenot knows that he has to treat Kyle Pitts in this way in the public for whatever reason, much like how I thought Kirby Smart treated Carson Beck. Kirby Smart treated Carson Beck miles different from how he treated Jake Fromm, miles different from how he treated Stetson Bennett, and I would assume it will be miles different from how he will treat Gunnar Stockton if Gunnar's the quarterback.
I think they realize that having a GM ask a question and say, Kyle just needs to be better, he knows that, move on, they probably think that if anything may exasperate the situation, right? You know? Of course.
You're saying that if Terry said that, the media would just blow it way out of proportion?
No, what I'm saying is that's what fans, I think, would like to hear.
Yeah, of course, because that's the truth.
He just needs to be better. We're disappointed.
That's not a shot.
I'm sure he's disappointed and we're disappointed that he hasn't had better production, but we're moving forward. Okay, don't give us the 5-6 quarterback rotation.
Yeah, the fluff.
We can watch him. Right. He's not like, you know. There was a point with Vic Beasley, despite leading the league in sacks, that we knew this guy wasn't an all-about football motor that cared about nothing else and was a dog the way that Grady Jarrett was. We know that. We know that Drake London seems to have a greater passion for catching passes and being a superstar than Kyle Pitts does, right? Not every motor is created equal, right? I don't think he spends his offseason, you know, doing what Jerry Rice did, running mountains and trying to say, how do I become the greatest quarterback? Or what Brock Bowers does, who literally thinks about nothing but football, who is like Kirby described him as he's a robot, right? A lot of folks have said, who was just in Athens the offseason, getting a degree and working out like a maniac. So anyway, just to go back on that, I'm not trying to pile on, but, you know, I don't want to hear you give me the excuse. Kyle Pitts is what he is. He's not going to have a great season, just so you know. And everybody listen. He's not. Drake London might have a great season. Bijan Robinson could be a top three running back in the league, Bo. Just not just production.
He should be able to be a top three running back in the league with his eyes shut.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's going to have a great year.
100%. You know, that's the expectation.
Yeah. And by the way, I believe in him. I think Michael Penix has a chance. Kyle Pitts is who he is. Michael Penix will focus on Drake London and Darnell Mooney and Ray McLeod and Bijan and Algiers as guys that he can get the extra yards or the third down. That's what's going to happen. If you think you're going to have Kyle Pitts emerge, like that's like telling me a month ago that the Braves are going to be making a playoff run. I was like, dude, look at what's in front of you. Just look. It's not complicated. It's not personal. Just look what's in front of you. Kyle Pitts isn't an all-pro. It's not what he is. Is he going to earn a paycheck in the NFL for 10 years? Absolutely. So, like, you're not building anything around Kyle Pitts.
Again, think of why you drafted Kyle Pitts fourth overall. Because when he was selected, the great age of mismatch athletic tight ends was happening in the NFL. George Kittle, Travis Kelce, guys who could absolutely be a threat both in the run game and in the pass game, and help you put points on the board. Like, that was why he was drafted, and is he any closer to that than when he was?
You hit Kyle Pitts on a seam route, he could go 45 yards and break three tackles and score touchdowns.
Brock Bowers is that.
Oh, no question. Brock Bowers was that
Sam LaPorta, TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah, they'll just, you know, what they also is great tight route runners that have great hands and go up and get the football.
Security
and there's a lot
blankets,
of those. Yeah.
Mismatches.
So just like just
temper expectations.
Settle in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to change.
Charlie Warner could have a great year. Who knows?
Listen, Kyle Pitts could catch a touchdown in a playoff game with a minute and a half left, and it'll be awesome. It'll be one of his 60 catches this year, and that's fine.
Yep.
But just understand what it is. Yeah. You didn't should have taken him at 4. All right, let's do the tailgate. I was wearing my Georgia colors yesterday over there. I was playing pickleball over at Hammond, middle of the day, because I wanted to, you know, sweat out the carbonara from the last 11 days. And a kid said to me, young kid, 23, what do you think about Gunnar Stockton? And I looked at him, and I paused, and I looked at him some more, and I said, I have absolutely no idea. I was like, he's played one game as a starter. He was a nice high school quarterback. I saw him on ESPN a few years ago, beat Pace Academy down there in, where did Gunnar go to high school?
He went to Raven County.
Yeah, Raven County. But I don't have any sense for what he can be. And that's what's really interesting about Georgia football, that as they start camp later this week, probably middle of the week,
yeah,
he's firmly locked in as number one, Puglisi.
Well, you know, again, I wouldn't necessarily go that far to say he's, quote, firmly locked in as number one, because Kirby Smart has not yet named a starting quarterback for the upcoming season. He indicated at Media Days that he wouldn't be doing that. This is par for the course Coach Smart.
Day one, I'm going to give you 4-1 odds. Would you take Puglisi, bet 100 to win 400?
No, okay. I would take Gunnar Stockton. Okay. Thank you. Now, I am really excited.
I'm giving you 4-1.
Now, 6-1, 7-1, okay. That would interest
me a little
bit.
I like how you're thinking, right? I got
to
juice.
But I do like, and I am interested to see the storylines that come out throughout training camp in regards to Ryan Puglisi. I want to hear how he looks. I want to hear what his teammates say about him. I'd love to see some opportunities of how he can push the ball down the field, because the intangibles of what Puglisi has – the height, the arm, the mobility in a different style than Gunnar Stockton, to me, is intriguing. And I'll be really, really interested to see what comes out of the storylines at training camp when it starts up later this week.
Also, at ACC Media Days, Carson Beck spoke, and one of the things he talked about is his time at Georgia. And what he essentially said was, I sat for years behind some great quarterbacks. Watched Stetson Bennett win double national titles. Talked about getting his shot and how special it was playing between the hedges, under the lights. He will not experience that in Miami. Anything like, and he didn't compare it to Miami, he just said in general, coming on the field for a night game against Tennessee last year or playing Georgia Tech on that Friday night in blackout games was unlike anything he ever could have dreamed of. And then he said, it's kind of surreal how it just wrapped up the way it did.
Yeah, and you could easily tell Carson Beck that he will not be experiencing anything like that at Miami, where they can hardly fill the stadium because it's nowhere close to campus.
Yeah, they don't fill it.
I do think, though, it was great to hear him be candid. He obviously has not spoken very much in the media, nor does he need to, since he's left Athens and gone down to Coral Gables. But I was surprised that at ACC Media Days, and rightfully so, Carson Beck has had a lot of success in college football. I was surprised how yet nobody is really discussing the injury that he's coming back from. I mean, the guy tore his UCL in December of last year, and it's almost like an expectation that he's going to be a Heisman favorite, that Miami's going to win a ton of football games. You know, he didn't mention it. I wouldn't expect him to mention it. But look, that is a serious injury for a starting quarterback to come and play from 8 months later.
And they open with Notre Dame.
That's right.
Not to be outdone by LSU opening with Clemson. You talk about a first week. You talk
Texas,
about
Ohio State.
Dude, think about that day.
Yep.
Where are you going to be that day, by the way?
I don't know yet. I'm waiting to see what happens with my schedule this fall.
So I'm going to be in New Orleans because my daughter's dancing for Tulane for opening day versus Northwestern, which is a Big Ten game Tulane. The beauty of it. God bless. Is it 11 a.m. game, I believe, in New Orleans? And I'm going to find a comfortable seat at the nicest sports bar I can. I'll give the proverbial kiss to my beautiful daughter and say, Daddy has to go to work. And I'm going to be a graph, if you're listening, where are we going? We're going to Walk-Ons. We're going to Manning's. We go into that surf bar in the quarter, but we're going to be somewhere for 7 hours.
You betcha.
I mean, you talk about a week one. Hey, Drew Butler had a conversation with Matthew Stafford. Was this a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Wait till you hear who Matthew Stafford referenced as a receiver in the SEC that he says, I want him playing for the Rams tomorrow. Let's just say this. If you're a Georgia fan, you better buckle up. You got to wait 6 minutes, and we'll tell you who he's talking about. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:02 on a Monday morning. Back on the radio, on the Odyssey app. My mom now can listen. Not that she wouldn't listen to Abe. But she's not listening to Abe. I mean, let's be honest. She's not even a sports fan. So nothing against Abe. Who else was filling in all week, Bo? You had a little Abe. You had a little Sandy. You had a little Drew.
Like, Rusty was here.
What was the Rusty Rocks happen?
Rusty was here, I think, Friday. Thursday or Friday.
Did he do Coldplay?
So there was a myriad. There was a mixture of things that he had to incorporate. There was a Coldplay day, but then Friday we had the Hulkster passing and some other pieces
rest
of news.
In peace.
Yeah, how did you feel about the passing of the Hulkster?
Dude, I mean, it's the biggest icon in professional wrestling and always will be. He completely brought wrestling to the forefront to two different generations, once in the 80s and once in the 90s.
Boy, I've never read
can't be understated.
So many eulogies that are mixed, though. Normally, I mean, there are still people that were not able to even now, The Rock rallied to say something nice and some others, but boy, are there some guys. What was it that what he did to Bret Hart ended his career or something, right? And that, you know, his selfishness, the union stuff about how he basically broke, what's his name, won't ever speak to him, well, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, he didn't want to lose ever, so he refused to put wrestlers over, you know, take a fall so somebody else could have a, and so he was a little bit selfish in that regard, but I don't know, had he not been, you may not
they
be
were gonna
having two-night WrestleManias in Las Vegas right now. That right, doesn't happen without
you know they're
WrestleMania.
Going back to Vegas, yeah. It sounds like, right?
They told the city of New Orleans they're going to write a contract to where they're going to come back a guaranteed number of times in New Orleans, but we're not going there this year. It was already booked in New Orleans.
Yes, okay,
we're
I didn't know if you,
to
I didn't
Las
know,
Vegas. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if that was public knowledge. New Orleans had WrestleMania. New Orleans hosts events better than anybody. New Orleans would have been awesome. Las Vegas Board of Tourism saw the money that poured in for last WrestleMania, and they simply said to New Orleans, who am I going to quote? Sandra Golden. What am I going to say? What Las Vegas said to New Orleans? You're adorable.
Yeah.
We're going to write a check, and you're coming back to Vegas. And New Orleans absolutely lost WrestleMania. There was also the controversy when they were going to strike because wrestlers, God knows, were abused horribly. And Hulk Hogan blows the whistle on everybody. And Jesse Ventura, right before WrestleMania, basically goes to Vince and says, oh, yeah, they're getting ready to strike, but I would never do that. So there was a lot of controversy about that. But Rusty was here last week as well, so a lot going on. I want to talk about the Braves in a little bit. But Drew just threw something in there, as ex-professional athletes can do, guys that play in his circles. I'm more of a common guy, you know. I'm playing pickleball down in Hammond in a free court. They're talking to people about football. This guy's playing in all these pro-ams and these big events, and his dad is a Hall of Famer and all that. And you saw Matthew Stafford
I did.
Back in town, right?
Yeah, my former teammate, Matthew Stafford, was back in town. This was before the 4th of July. So this
were you at a restaurant? Were you at a golf course?
Yeah, the Athletic Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of fancy people at that place, man. Good for you guys.
But he was up in Athens, and obviously his wife is a Georgia Bulldog as well, and I think they brought the kids up to tour the facilities and maybe run by the gymnastics team, all that fun stuff while they're back in town. And he was talking to me about the dogs because I was asking him, what'd you see? What'd you like? And he was like, hey, who's that transfer receiver? And obviously you got a couple, right? You got the kid from Texas A&M, and then you got – I said, Zachariah Branch from USC? He goes, oh, yeah. He's like, that kid's for real. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, crisp route running, can catch the ball. He's fast. Just the way he moves. And you're talking to a guy who's won a Super Bowl, one of the best arms in the NFL. He's like, yeah, that kid's ready. I was like, wow, that's really good.
He said I would throw to him right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I assume he saw him at USC as well.
Yeah, I don't know, because obviously Matthew's the type of guy, when he's in season, he's locked in. I mean, they're going to watch a football game on TV if it's on in the background. He's not locking into 60 minutes of Georgia football like we are.
I thought maybe he had been around Zachariah Branch at USC.
No, he hadn't. And I think it's important, too, because that transfer, really, Zachariah Branch, again, has kind of been under the radar. I mean, this is an elite player, not only on offense, but in the return game on special teams as well. That's why it's going to be so paramount to make sure that Georgia has a quarterback who can get these guys the football.
Do you know how quickly he won't be off the radar? Will be, and it won't be the first 2 weeks, right? Is it week three at Tennessee?
Week three at Tennessee. But, you know, Marshall and Austin Peay, those are the opportunities for those guys to flash on tape, pad the stats.
I get it, dude.
Definitely get whoever's going to be quarterback to be confident to deliver them the football.
Nobody ever got off the radar against South Alabama, okay? Nobody's getting off the radar. You know how you get off the radar? You run a little slant in Knoxville on 3rd and 4 from the 34.
You take that baby
to the house, and then you'll see a lot of Branch jerseys the next week in Athens.
But, you know, Noah Thomas as well, the transfer from Texas A&M. Yep. I mean, these guys are, for whatever reason, not being talked about, and I think that is because there's so much uncertainty or not as much familiarity at the quarterback position. Noah Thomas, a 6'5" senior who's had plenty of success in the SEC, transferred to Georgia. I mean, last year as a junior, 39 catches, 574 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Listen,
the Dogs could use that. And that's the interesting approach about this season in the SEC. Georgia, not a lot of familiarity at quarterback. Alabama, not a lot of familiarity at quarterback. Texas, yes, it's Arch Manning, but he has hardly played. Your blue chip teams in the SEC, a lot of them don't have a returning starter. That's why over the weekend I saw some people saying your dark horse team in the SEC is the LSU Tigers, Garrett Nussmeier.
I mean, having to open and try to break that opening game streak, but having to go to Clemson to do it.
I love the chirping going back, too, about the Death Valley Junior and Brian Kelly and the players saying we'll take care of that. But that's going to be a fascinating game in week
one. I'll just say this. Listen, Kirby wants a wide-open offense. He wants big plays. He knows what Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers were responsible for. That was national title, you know, players. They just went out. It's no different than a head of a corporation that says, hey, guys, it looks like our product line is down a little bit. We need a little more innovation, or we got to revamp our sales team, or whatever CEO is talking to the board. The message was, we just are not good enough at wide receiver. The amount of drops last year, the guys that we counted on as transfers, some of them that left the program had issues, right?
Yeah.
The guys we brought in.
A lot of unexpected issues.
Even the portal guys, the freshmen, we're revamping everything. We're going to recruit 5-star receivers and tell them you can come in and play right away. And we're going to go get the best portal. Like, they went to the portal and they didn't waste a second.
No, I love it.
I cannot wait to see Mike Bobo and Gunnar Stockton in a game in Knoxville. And that may be more of an old school, like they're going to pound the ball and do that. But there's going to be times this year where you are going to see them light it up.
Okay, so in the same vein as Georgia addressing the wide receiver position in the offseason, they most certainly did the same for the run game, right? Heavily recruited offensive lineman, Cole Kubelik at SEC Media Days. Cole was a voting member of the Joe Moore Award, which goes to the best offensive line of the country. He said unequivocally, Georgia has the best offensive line in the SEC. Georgia also went out and hired 2 former NFL coaches to come help coordinate the run game. Forget the coach's name from the Jaguars that came in town. John Lilly, who used to be with the Carolina Panthers, who also used to be with the Georgia Bulldogs as a tight end coach and recruiting coordinator, he's back in town. They are leaving no stone unturned to address the need at the skill deep threats. But I think the emphasis on the run game is this. You don't know what you got at quarterback yet. So you're going to have to go into Knoxville relying on that old-school Georgia approach. How is Gunner going to handle it? You know it's going to be a raucous environment. Hey, let's grind it out. Let's run the ball. Let's win this like we know how we can win it, rather than shotgun five wide and see if Gunner can keep
up. But there's going to be a night, maybe it's Alabama, as we give them a taste of what they did to us last year. Maybe it's the Ole Miss game.
What's going to happen in that game? September 27th, night game in Athens. Alabama comes back to Georgia for the first time since 2015. That's also the same Saturday as the Ryder Cup stake. So it's going to be an unreal sports weekend. What is going to happen? I was in Tuscaloosa last year. It was a complete train wreck in the first
half.
Until it wasn't. And then, of course, an interception late ended Georgia's comeback bid, but man, that is going to be a fun one between the
heads. Yeah, I will mention this. While you're looking at that incredible Saturday of football, which
September 27th, or is this week one?
This is week one, okay. August 30th.
Yes.
August 30th, right?
Yes.
It's Labor Day weekend. And I want to get back to your plans. And when you have three beautiful little girls and, you know, Georgia doesn't have a big game, I want to strategically map out what your day looks like a little bit. But Syracuse and Tennessee are playing
right here
up the road.
Yep, Aflac kickoff game.
So you will get a chance to see Tennessee in that game, right? Now, the Syracuse coach that came from Georgia,
Fran Brown,
who absolutely gushes about Kirby, if you're struggling with Syracuse, that's not a good thing for Tennessee at all. But we're going to get to see them. And then week three, now what time is the game on week three? It's the 3:30 game. So it's not the primetime game. A 3:30 start means what? That's a ESPN 3:30? No, it's an ABC game, right?
Yeah, ABC 3:30. Probably our buddy Sean McDonough on the call with Greg McElroy.
Yeah, so it's the number two game in the SEC that day, right? Obviously. And I don't know what the primetime games, but we'll tell you that in a second. But, sorry.
Primetime game is Florida at LSU.
Okay, Florida's LSU. So they're going to be in Baton Rouge. You're going to see the game.
Texas Notre Dame is going to be on NBC at 7:30. This is week three, people. Get ready.
Dude, Notre Dame has Miami week one and Texas week three?
Mm-hmm. Texas A&M.
Oh, is that what you just said?
Yeah, Texas A&M.
Okay. My God. So let me ask you this. All right.
Clemson, Georgia Tech that day at noon. Right here on the flats.
So you are going to do whatever you have to do that Labor Day weekend, right? Mm-hmm. You got three girls and everything else.
Yeah, a wifey's going to be gone on a bachelorette party.
Oh, my God.
The week prior, I'm on a bachelor party in Las Vegas, week zero of college football.
Yeah, those are some awful games to bet.
That's okay, though. Be happy for me.
I think your kids are going to get all three of your kids are going to get real familiar with two terms on that Saturday of Labor Day. The first one is babysitter, which could mean grandma, right? The second is streaming. Here is Disney Plus. Here's our codes. I'll see you in about 6 hours. Just if anybody gets hurt, just scream. We'll make sure meals are brought in, right? But I mean, let's be honest. LSU, Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame. What game did we not mention?
Well, you just said Syracuse, Tennessee.
No, I'm talking about that one. No, Ohio State.
Ohio State, Texas.
Yeah, those girls are not going to be well tended to by daddy that day.
They love football,
though.
Does
she know that?
That's why I've got the three TVs in the basement.
She's on a bachelorette party where?
Yeah, Turks. They're going to Turks.
Do you have any friend, that you any single girlfriends on that trip?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, your wife. This is my soon-to-be sister-in-law. My sister-in-law's bachelorette party.
It's a tame deal, relatively speaking, or not?
I think they'll probably turn up a little bit.
All right. Well, we got a lot of stuff to get to for the next 3-4 weeks. Hey, when we come back, what's it like to have one of the worst teams in baseball playing right up the street? It's not fun. Also, things I learned since I've been away, including, is this the most famous, not famous person of all time? Is he the most famous, not famous person on the internet?
Of all time?
In history.
Wow.
I'd say he's number one. Who is he and why he had another bad weekend? Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody, Steak Shapiro, Drew Butler on the Steakhouse. Thanks so much for making our day. I left town. Could be a little bonus with a capital B. You know, you only get that if the ratings get real high. We used to have a really crappy signal back at our place at 790. And I don't know why, but, I mean, you could never hear us. So I was like, you got to be top.
No apps back then? No streaming?
No, no. Yeah, it was all about listeners. It's like if you're top 7 or 8 in men, you get bonused. And I was like, well,
is that why you and Salsa would always hit the streets because you needed the cred?
Well, yeah. And also, we knew we were never paying bonuses. We had the worst ratings ever. You had no signal. Like, the sun had to come up in order to hear the station. So in winter months at 790 The Zone, you could not hear us till 742 in the morning. I remember. It's like sunrise. It's like, oh, that you know, who's on the road before 740? You know, that's not a big deal, right?
Like, yeah.
That's easier to run a station. Well, here you have to be number 1 or 2 to get a bonus. So, like, I remember saying to Rick and Mike, I was like, yeah, what do we get bonus? Like,
Getting paid to do this?
Right. I know. My buddies call me like, dude, are they still paying you to talk that nonsense that we've been listening to you come out of your mouth for 50 years?
That's like that scene out of the movie We're the Millers when Jason Sudeikis is negotiating with Jennifer Aniston and the daughter and the kid, Kenny, goes, wait, you guys are getting paid and they're in Mexico smuggling all those drugs.
By the way, in that movie, was that really her doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Striptease?
Yeah, Smart Water. Yeah, of course.
Dude, that was one of the sickest. How old was she when she did that? My God. You know she's hanging out with Jennifer Aniston?
Who's she hanging out with now?
Some big, big, big money guy.
And I did not know that. That's not her real name. It's like Jennifer Anastasis or something. Okay. I think she's Greek.
But anyways, it's been a great run for the station. It's going to get even better. And it's great to go on vacation and have those kind of ratings happen. So thanks everybody for that. And follow us on our app and follow us on the Odyssey app. Bunch of stuff I want to talk about before we get to things I learned over the weekend. Tomorrow we're outside at Falcons training camp. Looking forward to that. Myself and Drew Butler, Sights and Sounds. That we did I hope you found it an entertaining segment on just, you know, the non-stories, but kind of a couple of stories from Arthur Blank and the ramblings about Kyle Pitts, which we seem to cannot get away from. Did you ever think you'd be looking at a baseball team that was 16 games under 500?
The fact that the Braves would be a non-factor at the end of July is shocking.
This is a really bad baseball team. I don't know if it's bothering you. You know, Bo's pretty level-headed. He's got that Sunday night show, which is his opportunity to not have to listen to all the hosts, just get his time. Your boy John Fricke is so going after your guy, Brian Snicker. I mean, I don't want to create some kind of a tense situation, but have you been listening to this? Fricke just getting the mic and just going to town on Snit?
Yeah, honestly, that's just a very old conversation, in my opinion, and does not deserve to be had or commented on.
All right.
Because there's absolutely nothing that Brian Snicker can do at this point
this
team to get better or to get worse, frankly.
Every single member of their 5-man rotation when we started the season, every single one of them is on the injured list. They're all off. They're all gone. I remember movies.
It's
They're
crazy.
Gone. They're all gone.
They're having to be buyers at the trade deadline just to get guys that can finish out the season.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Eric Fetty is a free agent at the end of the year, and he's a 30-something-year-old pitcher that we need to just come in here and eat innings, literally.
You imagine the conversation that Alex and Snit in general are having about just filling out the roster for starting pitchers?
Yeah, it's hard right now, yeah.
I mean, what I believe is that Brian Snicker, indeed, I know last week, when I tell you there were no sports stories, like to be away in that week, I couldn't have picked a better week. Braves were languishing against the Yankees and getting on the road after that. And the only story was Snicker's going to hang it up. Listen, Brian Snicker is 70 years old. He's been with the organization for 5 decades. He's going to go down as one of the most beloved people around the organization of all time.
Of course. He brought a World Series championship here.
He's been to the playoffs. He saved the franchise, but, you know, he orchestrated us out of the Freddie Gonzalez. Was it the Freddie Gonzalez era that he came in, which was ironic? Like, there's never been a better time to retire. You're 70. You got grandkids. Your son is, you know, in the Houston Astros organization. Like, Snit will step aside. They'll make hard decisions. This has been a huge wake-up call. since the World Series. It was slapped by the Phillies, slapped by the Phillies, slapped by the Padres. Awful season. It's time. It's time for new blood, new expectation. That will happen. And there's no way to overcome what they've had to overcome. They still were going to have a bad year. Even if Chris Dale was around and you know, a couple of these injuries, Ronaldo Lopez goes out early. Strider's not even in the rotation early. He's the only guy back. But it is what it is. So, I mean, you know, how much heat can you really give to Snit in this situation? The notion of him flipping desks and screaming and going crazy, I mean, come on. Like, what are we talking about? You don't think he wants to win as bad as everybody else? It's just time. Everything in sports plays itself out.
Yes.
And it's just going to be time. And Snit will move aside and somebody else will be in there. A couple of other things. On the internet, Buford High School invites folks to see their new stadium. I mean, we say colleges in the Northeast. You're saying NFL facilities.
Yeah. Have you been to...
Have you seen the videos?
RFK Stadium in Washington, Caleb, where the Commanders play?
$62 million they spent on this new stadium.
Which I heard is conservative. I heard that they went over budget.
It's the most remarkable thing. I try to explain to people what's... You just drive into Buford. Bobby had a soccer game there. The JV field that they play, not the JV, their middle school field is nicer than every high school field I ever saw in New England.
Their baseball facilities are better than half of D1 college baseball facilities. And yesterday they had an open house, I guess, for the community. My cousin Austin took the liberty to go ahead and get up into the premium seating areas, and he sent me a video. I sent it to you, Steak. Incredible. Simply incredible. A dual-sided Jumbotron. I'm not sure what the capacity is, if you have that handy, but it's absolutely insane so what they have built.
They get all the revenue because...
The city school.
Well, no, but also because other counties are paying them dollars.
Sure.
Because of what runs through it. Is it the water deal or the power thing that runs through? So they have access to all these tax dollars and other dollars that other communities don't. And I know I'm butchered that to a degree, but people understand what I'm saying, why there's so much more money in that county and why that Buford has taken advantage of it. So it's just one of my favorite conversations. And Sandra knows, you know, if anybody deserves to be, you know, taken down, you know, on the air. I love it when Sandra just attacks me and she goes, you can't speak to this. I go, what's the matter, Sandra? What day do you guys play high school football in Massachusetts? I was like, what? No, what days are your games? I was like, Saturday mornings. Okay, stop talking, right? just think about what I grew up with for high school football and then looking at Buford. Those are like two different galaxies.
Yeah.
Right,
and not to mention Lincoln's, Milton, one of the best football programs in the country.
Yeah,
back-to-back state champions.
Swampscott High School has worse facilities than whatever elementary school is in. You know, where are you, Johns Creek, whatever it is. Yeah, their elementaries looks better than Bill Ricka High School. I can promise you that. Who plays on Saturday? It's like, what do you mean? Is there not college football in that? On the first is like the mid-August. No. That's like in October. So you play high school games the same day as college games? Like, yeah, that's what they do.
Cam Newton went on a big rant on his podcast last week talking about the level of talent that the state of Georgia produces from Georgia high schools. And he said, I think something to the tune of, imagine if Georgia was the size of California. Like, it wouldn't even be close. He was saying Georgia gets disrespected in that regard because if you look at the players in the NFL, the guys who are the best, they all come from the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
A lot of them do.
Speaking of Georgia, a guy that made some bones here playing NFL football, a lot of rumors about Deion Sanders of late.
Yeah, he's about to host a press conference, I think in about an hour and a half, about his coaching future. And Stake, the rumors, or I guess the reports around his health at the moment seem a bit scary. There was a video posted yesterday. As you know, Deion always has the camera crews following him around. It was dated May 9th. He was in a hospital room, and he was just very vulnerable in saying and looking you know, like a guy who was kind of questioning everything, and he said while sitting in the hospital room, you know, your perspective changes when you don't know if you're going to make it.
So is there a notion he may have cancer? It may be
I don't
blood
know
disease.
What, I, you know, Remember, I'm not even going to assume
right.
or speculate, but
it's
it
serious.
Seems like they're making
it's
an announcement around, will he be coaching this year?
Right. And that's today?
Yeah, it's about to happen in an hour and a half. I think it's 11 a.m. Mountain Time.
Wow. Yeah. So a lot of things out there. To kick around, and I'm sure you'll hear more about it from Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell. And as we start wrapping up summer vacations and getting into it, we'll be at Falcons training camp tomorrow. When we come back, it's time to do Things I Learned. We have two guys in the studio who have seen Happy Gilmore, too. It's time to absolutely turn to them. Hall of Fame was pretty fun. Also, I'm sorry I didn't get to it, but Andy Byron is the CEO of what's the name
Astronomer.
Of the
Yeah. Former CEO of Astronomer.
He's the Coldplay concert CEO who done did get busted. Wait till you hear two women who chimed in this weekend who have a lot of clout. It's just a hard time for him. If you see him at a bar room, he's from Boston. He's probably at some Irish pub. Buy the guy a beer. Or maybe if you're a woman, you probably won't. But he's having a really bad time, to say the least. It's all coming up. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak and Drew Butler. We're having a lively 2 hours today. It's going very fast, fastest 2 hours in radio. Remind everybody, by the way, that Wise Guys Pro Wash brings you the 10 o'clock hour. They're Atlanta's number one. They're not two, they're not four, they're not nine, they're not six. They're number one pressure washing company in Atlanta. I got a lot going on here. I'm trying to get back in the swing of things. You're feverishly you're texting, you're typing, you're reading about Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
You're like a real journalist.
Journalist
over there. You're worried about what you're about to hear, right?
Yeah. I mean, I hope and pray that he's all good, that everything's okay. It sounds like he wrote a will
in May thinking he may not survive.
Yeah.
Right?
That's public information now.
Yeah. All right. We'll find out more about that in the next hour or so. Why don't I finish writing Three Strikes? We gotta do things I Learn! We're going to review Happy Gilmore. We're also going to talk about this CEO is in trouble. But you're going to give us our big game of the night, and it's brought to you by John Foy, correct?
That is correct, and it is your Atlanta Braves, yes. You're going to have to tune in tonight. They are in Kansas City to take on the Royals. So that is happening. Can the Braves end their five-game losing streak? I hope so. Spencer Strider is on the mound. It is a 7:40 first pitch, and Vegas is telling you to back the Braves. The Braves are -175 on the money line right now.
What?
They're going up against Rich Hill, who will be
Rich
taking
Hill's
the
like
mound.
Rich Hill's like 100 years old.
Who will be taking the mound for the Royals.
Who's pitching
he is 45 years old.
No, for real.
Rich Hill is 45 years old.
Did you?
Hey, man, Strider versus Rich Hill?
Dude.
Come on, dude, let's go.
I played pickleball at the JCC yesterday. Rich Hill makes the people I played with look young, okay? And that's the JCC. It's not exactly peak athletes over there, but you know. So now I played pickleball twice yesterday. I played at the J, as we call it, and then I played over at Hammond, right? Because I needed to see some. I needed to play someone that didn't have a doctor in front of their name. I felt pretty good about myself leaving the J. I was like, that's an ophthalmologist. That guy was
proctologist.
Yeah, that guy was
dermatologist.
That was Nola's, dentist. Put in her braces. Like, you know, you went 4-1. You feel pretty good. It's time to go play.
Morale booster.
Yeah,
at the J.
And then I went over to Hammond and just, you know, I realized who I was. All right, our three strikes question. The thing you miss most about the USA when you travel the thing you miss most about the USA. I don't want to sound like, you know, an ungrateful American when I'm traveling. I love being overseas. I missed my Starbucks. I missed I missed the NFL Network, you know.
For sure.
I missed not having to eat the same food every meal in certain countries like tapas. I get it. I'm in Barcelona. Tapas. What are you going to have tonight in Rome? Carbonara. What are you going to have? Pizza, carbonara, cacio pepe? No. No, I want to eat wings at lunchtime. I want to eat sushi for dinner. And I want to go to Brewster's. I don't eat gelat. Gelat is overrated. Let me tell you. I'll go to, I'll drive by and get a Grater's ice cream. It's better than a lot of the gelat I have. So I'm sorry, that's my take. The thing you most about the USA when you travel, which quarterback will have the best year? Which quarterback will have the best year? Michael Penix Jr., Gunnar Stockton, right? And we got to throw in Georgia Tech as well, right?
Haynes King, yeah.
So Haynes King, who's having the, you had to say, at the end of the year, which of these three guys? Doesn't mean, by the way, that their team had the best year, but if we had to say, who would you lay money on? Penix Jr., Gunnar Stockton, or who do we just say?
Haynes King.
Why do we keep not saying Haynes King? Or Haynes King. All right? And your favorite TV doctor. Your favorite TV or movie doctor. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929.
I got one.
The thing you miss most about the USA when you leave, who will have the best year of those three, the favorite TV or movie doctor.
As I told you, my five-year-old daughter, Kara, she had her tonsils and adenoids taken out, so schedule has been kind of wonky the past 10 days or so. Staying up a little bit later at night, I've been binging The Sopranos, Dr. Jennifer Melfi.
You have binged that show so many times.
It's the best.
I respect it so much because is there a funnier show all time in terms of, or a better? Dude, is it Polly that steals every scene? Is it Christopher?
I was watching some last night, and it's when Blundetto, he whacks Phil's brother and. I'm butchering the scene, but you know they're all sitting together. They're trying to get the families together. And he goes, "I'm so sorry about your brother. Whatever happened to him?" And it's like, what? Just the comedy aspect too. It's great. Sopranos is the best.
How about Jenny, the big fat wife?
Oh yeah. Loses her temper. I mean, she just goes absolutely crazy.
She said something about my wife.
Yeah.
You can't take him out. He's a made man. I don't want to say what he said about my wife. Right? What did they say in that? Do you even remember?
So many good things. Right. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. The thing you miss most about the USA when you leave, who will have the best year? Do you think odds should be put on that at all in terms of, I mean, because Gunnar Stockton, would he be the underdog against the other two?
I would certainly think so.
But, I mean, if they go 10-2.
I got to go with Penix in that lineup right there. Penix Jr., Gunnar Stockton, or Haynes King?
Haynes King, said by Carson Beck, the best quarterback in the ACC.
Yeah.
If Tech wins eight games, right, nine games, is he not having a phenomenal year?
Absolutely.
So I thought
it was good, too, to hear Haynes King at ACC Media Days talk about him going into his last year, protecting his body, knowing when to slide, yeah. Knowing when not to run. Like, that's going to be a key piece for Georgia Tech this year. He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah. All right, let's do things I learned. He's known as the nicest guy in all of entertainment. He also knows how to promote a film for Netflix. That's why they pay him what they do, and he was out there pushing it. Happy Gilmore 2 drops on Friday night.
That's right.
Everybody in the room other than myself saw it. So what do we think?
I mean, I thought it did exactly what it was intended to do, which is Adam Sandler of old is – stupid comedy. This was fun, stupid comedy. Yep. That had a bunch of cameos in it, and I think it was kind of a measure of who is the best act or who is the best athlete who can also act, because I think some guys really surprise you in this.
All right, and you have to grade it in terms of irons, not in terms of irons. What do we grade it? What's a good golf? Is it a birdie? Is it an eagle? Is it a par? Or is it a bogey? What do you give it?
I think it's a birdie.
Yeah.
I would put it there.
All right. What about
fair assessment? I'll give it a birdie. That's fine.
I think birdie's totally fair. Par probably to some others, but who say it's bad, like, I just don't understand what you were expecting going into it. This is not made to win Oscars. The amount of cameos is absolutely insane.
Also,
loved John Daly in it. Loved Scotty Scheffler in it.
Yeah.
So funny. And all the callbacks to the original was perfect slapstick comedy, family friendly. I will watch it again.
All right, here's a little bit of Happy Gilmore 2, right?
I don't know where to start. Come on, brother.
Grip it and rip it.
I guess I need to update my happy place to something a little more age appropriate.
All right, we got another kid, Happy Gilmore 2.
That's what Bo had.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that
it's on Netflix.
John Daly does a fantastic job.
He does
job.
A phenomenal yeah. job.
Hey, did you hear that the Hooters in Augusta closed, by the way, speaking of John Daly?
Yes, I did.
You know how many appearances he did?
I think it was like 17 straight years. He would post up his RV there all week during Masters week.
Hooters having a little bit of a rough time. We love those guys over there, but that's a loss. That Augusta Hooters was a big deal. All right, what else do we have for you? Ichiro, yesterday, pretty good Hall of Fame class. I love this line. Not only was he talking about the guy who left him off the Hall of Fame ballot, they talked about going to the Marlins. You hear this?
And to the Miami Marlins. Honestly, when you guys called to offer me a contract for 2015, I have never heard of your team.
He's playing in another league. Doesn't even know anything.
He also threw shots at the lone writer who did not vote for him to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is just absolutely insane. In the past, he had said, hey, this writer, I invite you to have dinner at my house. I would love to have a conversation with you and understand why you didn't vote for me. Yesterday, when making his speech, he said, that invitation has now been revoked. You are not coming to have dinner at my house.
Meanwhile, it was the astronomer CEO, Andy Byron, who was caught. I think it's the most famous moment on the internet without a famous person. It might be the most famous ever. Now, I thought about it virally, why it happened, why it did. It's the way he ducks, right? It's the look of shock, which turned it into a million memes, right? It's
yes.
Chris Martin adds to it by saying either they're having an affair or they're really shy. It's just and it was a slow news time.
The slowest news.
So they not only he loses his job, his wife releases a statement saying, I'm basically going to take you for everything. You're a clown. She has this carefully documented statement. Then astronomer, the board hires Gwyneth Paltrow. I thought this was a spoof. This is her over the weekend in a video released by astronomer.
Thank you for your interest in astronomer. Hi, I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. I've been hired on a very temporary basis to speak on behalf of the 300-plus employees at Astronomer. Astronomer has gotten a lot of questions over the last few days, and they wanted me to answer the most common ones.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, Astronomer is the best place to run Apache Airflow, unifying the experience of running data, ML, and AI pipelines at scale.
Hysterical.
Unbelievable.
They lean into it. They get Chris Martin's ex-wife. She gets paid a bag of money and puts that out there for the company. Do you think there's anybody ever been more famous that's not famous on the internet than this guy?
We were discussing this pre-show. The Hawk Tua girl is up there. She rose to prominence, started a podcast. It became a top five podcast in the country. Her 15 minutes seems to be
over.
Fizzling out.
He wants
this guy.
He wants his 15 to be done.
He wants football back so bad.
He wants, I don't know, not a huge war, just a mini war, something to break out.
He needs something.
Just Andy Byron, poor guy. Let's just say the ladies we were on vacation with have a lot to say about Andy Byron. And finally, Billy Joel, the documentary is out. Now, this is a long doc on HBO. He granted, I heard, 25 hours of interviews. Suppose he's not doing great right now. If you haven't seen it, get it. I'm halfway through it. He talks about, by the way, Piano Man, New York State of Mind, where these songs came from, all the drinking, the divorces, the women, the agent. It's a fascinating life story, Billy Joel. He sits down for all of it. He said he was never going to do a biography about himself. He's not worth it. Really entertaining. Great job by HBO putting this out there.
A great job by HBO. I believe his residency just ended at Madison Square Garden. I saw Jimmy Fallon. Was this a year ago?
Well, 8 months ago, something.
Is that long ago? Oh, I saw a clip online of Jimmy Fallon walking out to kind of throw bouquets at Billy Joel inside MSG. So I guess that was a long time.
Word is that he's not doing well health wise. His brain's got a brain issue and whatever it is. Anyway, check that out. That's things I learned. Let's do a couple of calls here on. Three strikes. All right, we have time for one or two calls. So you know what the questions are. What do you miss most about this country when you leave? Who has the best year, Haynes King, Michael Penix Jr., or Gunnar Stockton? Favorite TV or movie, Doctor? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. I'll put you right on if you call now. Tinker in Kennesaw. Hey, Tinker, what do you miss most about the USA when you leave?
To be a really high quality cheeseburger ran through the garden at McDonald's fries.
You don't order cheeseburgers out of America. They don't even ever match up, no matter how hungry you are for one. Hey, who has the best year of those three?
Gunner.
Wow.
I think, dude, you beat Ole Miss. You win two of those three, Ole Miss, Texas, and Bama at home. You have 10 or 11 win year. Go to the SEC title. You could be that guy. Favorite TV or movie, Doctor?
I liked House. I really got into House.
Hugh Laurie was the actor. They had a great run for a while.
They did.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call. All right, we got to go. I thought I should have left more time, but listen, that's why it's the fastest 2 hours in radio.
Fast.
Tomorrow we're live at Flowery Branch. Thanks, Caleb. Thanks, Bo. Drew Butler, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think the girls are going to come out too, so we'll have fun.
Awesome. And thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.